The parents of one of the victims of serial child killer Robert Black say they prayed for the murderer and took no pleasure in his prison death. Jennifer Cardy was one of four young girls murdered by Black, who died in jail yesterday. The 9-year-old was abducted and killed near her home in Ballanderry in 1981. Her parents, Pat and Andy Cardy, have spoken of how their Christian faith has influenced their attitude towards Black, and her father, Andy Cardy, is on the line this morning. Andy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe.
First of all, I know you've been doing many interviews and a lot of things over the last day, so I really appreciate you taking time to speak to us this morning. I mean, how did you feel when you got that phone call and you heard that the man that murdered your daughter had died in jail?
Well, firstly, it was a shock. And then I thought back to over the last few days that I had a premonition that he would die very soon. It was like the Lord spoke to me and told me that he would die very, very soon. So when I got over the shock then, I just related back to the Lord and knew that he had prepared me for it, so he had.
You say a premonition, or a feeling, a dream? What sort of...
I was out walking with the dog, and when I was out walking the dog, he suddenly came into my mind, Robert Black, and it was like the Lord spoke to me that he would very soon pass away. So he would.
Many people have been listening and reading about this, Andy, over the last number of days, and their natural reaction would have been maybe one of hatred for a man that would have inflicted something like that on their own particular family. And yet, it's the complete opposite that you seem to feel. I mean, your son Philip has said that there's no hate from the family whatsoever towards Black.
No, there's not. We absolutely hate what he was. We hate that he was a paedophile. We hate what he did to little girls, and particularly to Jennifer. But we didn't allow hate or bitterness to destroy our lives. And people talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that you've got to work at. I forgive Robert Black, but it took me a long time to get to that point. I had to pray and talk to the Lord about it, and eventually he gave me that ease and that satisfaction to know that I had forgiven him.
We'll talk more about your faith and how that has got you and your family through this time, but I mean, take us back. I mean, tell us about Jennifer, Andy. I mean, what sort of a little girl was she?
Jennifer was lovely. We had a lovely family. We had four children. The last one had been Victoria, born, and that was quite a miracle because Pat had been sterilised because of her health. And about a year after she was sterilised, she found out she was pregnant again. And Victoria was born in December 1980, and we lost Jennifer in August 81. So the Lord was very gracious to give us another baby girl to look after and to enjoy. But Jennifer was just the loveliest child. She knew the Lord as her Saviour when she was 7 years of age, and heaven just shone out of her. She was just lovely. So she was.
And Black comes to Northern Ireland on a work trip. He's a delivery van driver. Mm-hmm. It was that visit in August 1981 that changed your life and the lives of your family. I mean, how vivid are those days, those actual days in August 81, still to you in your mind?
Look, they're very vivid, so they are. You live it through so many times in your life.
But the actual day itself, I mean, was there a moment that you remember, Andy, when the realisation comes that she's missing?
Well, when I got home from work, Pat was anxious. She had went out on her bike, and it's very hard to explain to people today what it was like. Then we lived out in the country. There was no traffic on the roads, and little boys and little girls cycled everywhere. Nowadays, you wouldn't allow that.
But you're talking 35 years ago. You know, it's half a lifetime.
That's right, and it was different. The word paedophile wouldn't have even been in our vocabulary. I wouldn't have known what a paedophile was then in 1981. So and we wouldn't have thought our daughter was in any danger whatsoever. And when I came home, Pat was very anxious that Jennifer hadn't come home for her tea. And I really wasn't that anxious, but as the night wore on and we found the bike, then the sudden realisation that something awful had happened to her had to sink in.
And the bike had been a birthday present, is that right?
I'd bought her the bike, not as a birthday present, just as a present, because so many, her bike had got too small for her, and so many of the children during the school holidays had been coming to our house on a bike, and she couldn't return a visit. So I brought her down to the bicycle shop, Hicklin's Bicycle Shop, quite close to where I live, and bought her a new bike. And that was only about 2 weeks prior to losing her.
And as the darkness falls and the worry increases and the sense of urgency increases, there are still people who remember joining the search as local people went out and just looked to try and find her.
Yes, very quickly, you know, when the news spread throughout the community, very quickly there was police, army, UDR, and all the locals, and there was thousands of people who joined in for her search. Thousands. And it was so lovely, but that was just at the height of the troubles, and it didn't matter that she was a Protestant girl. Roman Catholic people and Protestant people come out to look for her, and it was just lovely. It brought the community together, actually, so it did at the time.
And probably the lowest point, the awful moment when the realisation hits of what has actually happened to Jennifer.
Yes, when we found the bike, we realised that something had happened, that she'd been abducted, and it's very hard to explain what that feels like, and it's also what it does even to your own body and how it upsets you and your mind, and, you know, it is a struggle. It was a struggle, and it was terribly difficult, and then, you know, as time wore on, as days wore on, and her body, or she hadn't been found, I think we come to the realisation that she may be found and she may be found dead.
How do you even start to cope with that, Andy?
Well, it's very hard. And
because you've three other children here as well to think about in the family, yeah, at the time.
Well, that's the thing, you see. Life does go on. And as life goes on, I had to identify her in the morgue in Craigavon Hospital. And strangely enough, that was like a reunion. At least we found our child. You know, so many people, the McCanns, for example, haven't found their child. And we just feel for them people because they have never really found out what happened to their young girl. So we at least did find a body. And it was like, you know, we'd been reunited even though she had passed away. It was a relief to know that she had been found, and it was a relief to know that we could bury her. So it was. But you couldn't put it into words what it felt like. There's no words can describe what it's like to stand in a bedroom where a little girl once slept and not there anymore. There's no words would describe that.
And you have to wait 30 years before there's a trial.
Yes, uh-huh.
I mean, there must have been points where you thought to yourself, you know something, we're never going to get justice here. We're never going to get so many answers. This is never going to end. And at that point, is that where your faith comes into to such sharp focus? Is that the only thing really that you were able to hold on to in those days?
Well, you see, we knew after Black had been arrested for his his abduction for the little girl up in the Scottish borders, it was very quickly then realised that this man had travelled to Ulster on the day that Jennifer went missing. So we knew quite a long time ago that he most likely was the murderer. And the Lord just gave us a contentment that we never pushed the police, we never felt victims, we just lived on. And we actually at some stage wished that we would never have to come face to face with the man that had killed Jennifer. But we knew that someday it would happen.
Well, nothing. I don't think anything probably, Andy, in the world could ever prepare you for that kind of moment. I mean, you know, that maybe that first day when you walk into the courtroom and he's there and it's for the trial, and you know, you're so close. What was that moment like, that when you set eyes on him?
Well, when we first when he first came to Ulster and was interviewed in Antrim Crime Suite, and when we first knew that he was going to court to be arraigned and whatnot, Pat and I decided that we wouldn't go to court at all, that we wouldn't want to see him. We would just let the trial continue without us. But once again, we were spoken to by the Lord, both of us was, that we should be there, even to be a witness, as a Christian witness, to promote the kingdom of God. So we both knew that by going to the trial that he would be with us. Now, the first time I seen him, it was terribly difficult. I got quite a shock because he had got quite old from when I had first seen pictures of him.
Was there ever an anger? And I know you've said you've never had a hatred. Was there ever an anger when you looked at him, you know, that is the man that killed my little girl?
No, not during the trial and during the time that we had to watch him being arraigned and then eventually in Armagh Crown Court. I had no anger whatsoever. But when it first happened back in 81, I certainly was an angry person. And in them days, in honesty, if I had have known who it was, I would have killed them myself. And I know that sounds so terrible, but I would have committed murder. I was so angry at losing Jennifer. But as time goes on, and you realise that God is in control, I then put my faith there, and he gave me that contentment and that peace. So he did. To live on without hatred and without wanting revenge. You know, it's because there's, you know, revenge and hatred just absolutely eats people up and destroys their lives. Resentment is probably one of the most awful sins that you can commit.
After his conviction, I mean, did it help in a way? What was the change? Was there a change in how you feel now about things, sort of in the 5 years since the conviction, than before it?
Well, it was good to see the end of it. You know, it was good that 6 weeks trial brought it to an end, and it was good to know that this man who had abducted and sexually assaulted in ways that's beyond your imagination, little girls, it was nice to know that he'd never do it again. That was such a relief to know that little girls wouldn't suffer because of this man.
But the pain of going through it, through the 6 weeks, it must have been horrific, Andy.
Well, it wasn't good and it wasn't nice. But listen, that lovely verse in the Bible was with us the whole time. I will never leave or forsake you. And I can tell you that the Lord Jesus sat beside us each and every day in that court and give us that peace and that contentment.
You see, whenever you mentioned about initially and your reaction of anger and the feeling that perhaps you may have reached a point where you may have gone out and killed him yourself, that you spoke about, I mean, were you in a position with a strong faith at that time? Was that difficult time for you to question things?
No, I didn't have a strong faith at all then. It's only at a later date that I come to faith in Jesus Christ, and it was only from then on that I had that peace and that contentment.
But other people would maybe look at it and say, you know, you must question that fact and think to yourself, you know, why was I ever put through that?
Well, you know, anybody and everybody can say that. There's nobody comes through life without some sort of problems or worries, and I would say there's not a person on this earth wouldn't at some stage say, Lord, why am I going through this? But when you realise that God is in control and that he can bring good out of evil, and he has brought such good out of the evil that Robert Black committed, that it's incredible to see how God works in these circumstances. So many people, Pat and I get huge opportunities to speak in churches throughout the province and beyond, given our testimony, and we've saw so many people come to faith because of our experiences.
But you and other members of your family took this, you know, steps further. I mean, I think your son, I think, wrote to Robert Black.
He
sent him a Bible into prison. Yeah.
One son sent a Bible and one son wrote to him.
Yeah, I mean, people listening to that will think, you know, how would you bring yourself into that position? I mean, did you even ever contemplate going to visit him, to see him face to face?
Yes, we probably did. We would have if he had requested it. We would definitely have went to talk to him. You see, what people don't realise that Jesus Christ died for all the sins of all the world. He just didn't die for those who stole or used bad language. He stole for murder. He died for murderers, and he died for people like that as well. And Robert Black wasn't beyond redemption. Robert Black obviously chose to be beyond redemption, but he wasn't. He could have at any time asked for forgiveness, and he could today. I don't know whether he ever did that. I can't judge that. But if Robert Black had at some stage asked for forgiveness, I would have heard from him. And I don't believe that he ever did. And because he never asked for forgiveness and never had his sins forgiven, I believe today he's in hell. And it's as sad as that. And I take no pleasure in that, that a man walked off into eternity and met Jesus and would be cast into hell.
But yeah, but it's interesting the way you say that, because the front page headline this morning in the Belfast Telegraph is he will spend eternity in flames of hell. But the tone with which you say that, it's not a kind of triumphalist thing that this is where this man deserves to be. Absolutely. There's actually a sadness in your tone when you say that.
Look, I'm going to tell you, when he appealed and we went through several days of appeal, which again was horrific, when the Lord Chief Justice came to a judgment, which was several months later, and he was told that his appeal had failed, he walked past me in the appeal court in Belfast, and I genuinely saw hell walk past me. I mean that. I saw a man whose countenance never changed. He laughed and joked with the prison officers, and he walked past me, and I absolutely saw hell walking past me, and I wept. I absolutely wept. And I almost cry even thinking about it now, that this man was so indulged in his evil that he never once thought about his soul and where he would spend eternity. And that's just so sad. So it is.
Was there ever a moment when your eyes met, when you caught a moment where you looked at each other in the eye?
No, in the original trial, he always sat with his back to us, about 6 feet from us. I could have almost bent forward and touched him. But during the appeal, he sat at a right angle to us, so he could watch us and I could watch him on occasion. But any time that I turned my head towards him, he made sure that he wasn't looking at me.
A lot of people are calling and contacting the programme and listening to what you're saying this morning, Andy, and a lot of people using the word inspiration. Your Christian faith, and we've mentioned it, it's at the core of this.
There's no doubt.
Is that one of the worst elements of this whole story for you, that given the chance during the trial, Black didn't repent, he didn't apologise, he showed absolutely no remorse?
Yes, that was just so sad that he wouldn't take the stand. Some of the evidence was so awful. Some of the things that he did, even to himself, was so awful. He never even once was embarrassed, so he wasn't. And to see a man that was so dead in his soul was just so awful. And to not have any remorse whatsoever, to think that what he did was something that he was allowed to do and wanted to do. It was just so awful to see evil, to see the devil possess somebody in that way. It's just so awful. it has to be said that there's so many people, even good people, walking about the streets of our country today who are not bad, but they still haven't asked for forgiveness. And, you know, that's the awfulness of it. And that's why Pat and I so often take meetings in churches so we can tell people that they need to know Jesus as their Saviour.
And there are also many unsolved crimes this morning linked to Black, of which he was never convicted. I mean, other families this morning who will see this death, Andy, as a real blow to maybe any chance they may have had of getting answers or closure or justice.
Yes, and that's just so sad. We just think of Jeanette Tate as being one of the Tate family. You know, he was going to be charged with her murder. And we had been told about that several months ago. And they were putting a trial to get evidence together for that. So the Tate family will never know. They never found Jeanette Tate. And we just feel so sorry for them people and pray for them and just hope that they get some sort of peace, even though they never got any, if you want to call it, justice, at least if they can get some peace. The secret of life is peace and contentment.
Do you have contact with the other families of the victims? Or
no, we've never had contact with any other families, as far as I know. I think that maybe one family, I can't remember which one it was, contacted us very briefly, but we haven't done that, so we haven't.
Andy, do you feel as if you got justice?
Well, yes, if you want to call, if you want to say that he got convicted and got put in prison, that's justice, so it is. That's justice of the world, so it is. But it's very hard to define what justice is, so it is. And yes, I would say that we would say that we got justice, yes.
And of course, the other thing I'm sure that keeps you going is that, again, because of your strong faith, you believe that one day you will see Jennifer again?
Oh, absolutely. I know the minute that I pass away and I meet Jesus, one of the very first people I'll meet after that will be Jennifer. You know? And that's, you know, I am absolutely sure of that. She knew Jesus as her Saviour, and I know that the minute she passed away, she was with the Lord. And what a privilege and what an honour to be brought into the presence of God.
Andy, as I said at the start, I know you've been speaking a lot to the media and the press over the last day or so, but really appreciate you taking time to speak to us this morning on the programme.
Well, I appreciate also that you asked me to speak on the programme, and I appreciate the fact that I'm able to witness for the Lord Jesus.
And Andy, a lot of people this morning thinking about you and your family, so best wishes for you and your family for the future.